Hello and welcome to Marketing Without the Marketing. This is Michael Bozzi, your host, and today I'd like to talk about the things to consider before you start your book project. Now, in the last episode, we covered the considerations around whether or not writing a book should be a part of your overall content strategy. Now, if you decided yes, let's take this episode to go a little bit deeper, start to define the expectations of a book and of your book, so that you have some parameters for sort of setting up your project goals and sort of building out a project plan. You need to have a plan before you go into this. I mean, that's the same thing for anything in business, and writing a book is no different. So let's start with kind of a silly question. What exactly is a book? This sounds like this would be pretty basic because everyone has a sense of what a book is, or certainly they did, when books were only available in print. But the digital world's blurred the definition a little bit. But even so, there are still certain expectations of a book, and I think it's worth reviewing these expectations before you get to work on a project. Like I said, you can't just start out without a set of goals. It's not going to turn out okay if you do that. You really do have to have a destination in your project journey. So where do we start? Well, generally, a book-length work is expected to be roughly 350 pages or so, give or take. That's going to work out to about 90,000 to 150,000 words. That's assuming sort of industry standard 6x9 format. And let's put that in terms of blog posts, because a lot of folks in the business world are at least used to blogging, whether it's writing blogs or reading blogs, and it's a good sort of comparative measure just to see if you're sort of up for the challenge, right? So blog posts tend to be generally short to medium form content, right? Ranging anywhere from about 350 to about 1200 words. You know, I tend to try to keep mine to what I think is an ideal length, which is somewhere between 450 and 700 words. There's not really a hard and fast rule about this, but I mean, you just want enough time to, you know, convey the information that you want to get across, state your opinion, you know, do what you need to do. But, you know, there's the understanding that in a blog post, it's going to be very difficult in this sort of short or medium form to get at all the nuances, which is why a book can help you. But if you start to put this into context, that means that a book length work, if you do the math, is roughly the equivalent of about somewhere between 150 to 250 medium-sized blog posts. I mean, that really sets things into context, right? Can you do that? Can you write 150 blog posts? Can you write 250 blog posts? Sure you can. But it's going to take a lot of commitment, consistency, a huge sustained effort. And you're going to have a plan going into this and going forward. I mean, in working with a lot of first-time authors when I was in the publishing industry, you know, setting down to write 150,000 words is a daunting task. And projects of this type would never get done unless you really started to think about cutting it up into small pieces. And really, it sounds cliche, but one foot in front of the other. Small pieces, you start, you know, knocking those down, stringing those together. It's the only way to think about this. Otherwise, you'd never be able to start. It's just too daunting a prospect to sit down and try to write 150,000 words. And this right here is why I always recommend that you start using a blog as a first draft. It's a great strategy for a couple of huge reasons. The first is that it gets you writing. Getting you writing and producing is always a good thing. And what's more is if you treat your content as a promise, which I mentioned in a prior episode, you've actually made a promise to your audience to show up. This puts a little bit of pressure on you, and that pressure is a good thing. The second thing is that it gets you interacting with your audience. And not only is that going to help you build your audience, but it's actually going to make your writing get better too. So you're going to use your blog as sort of this imperfect publishing platform and sort of, you know, you're going to publish this live first draft as you go. It's going to be your opportunity to test out ideas. You're going to be able to do this in real time in front of real people. And this to me is, it's just a huge way to make sure that you're connecting with people, that you understand them, you see in real time what works, what doesn't, what hits, what misses, where your writing style falls down and the things that people respond to. I mean, in effect, what blogs allow you to do is to practice in front of a live audience. Now, this is where my background as a musician really helps, because I know, and any performer will tell you this, that live practice is required in order to get better. If you're going to connect with people, it really does help to get out there and perform it. And here's the thing, to do that actually before you're even ready to do it. I mean, obviously, you need to have the techniques built up. You got to run through the scales on the piano, or you got to learn the chord shapes on a guitar. You've got to get your script down if you're an actor so that you can deliver it right with all the nuances. I mean, all of this stuff is really, really important. But if you're doing this in your bedroom or in the practice space or in rehearsal, that's not going to tell you how an audience will respond, or, you know, conversely, how you will respond back to the audience. And the best performances, you know, whether it's live or whether it's in writing, are a conversation. And that's the great thing about today's world in digital, is that even in writing, it's the best stuff is going to be bi-directional, where it's sort of a conversation with your audience. Social media is excellent for this, and it's just a great way to be able to be in touch with your audience and sort of really understand them. I mean, you really won't have a full understanding of your audience until you've interacted with them. So how do you get started? Like I said before, a little bit cliche, but one foot in front of the other. I mean, look, you're an expert in this area. The thing that you're going to set out to create is going to be your knowledge all packaged up for folks. You know this stuff as well or even better than most people, and you're going to do them the service of organizing it into a cohesive package. That's all excellent. But you got to make it manageable. I mean, you just, it's like I said, it's too vast to comprehend a project of this scope all at once. And just break it down into small elements. Start with a plan, a structure, and then just set to work on that. It doesn't have to be done in sequence, doesn't have to be done in order, but just start knocking out blog posts. They don't have to be perfect. They have to be something that's going to represent you well enough. Start publishing them 500 words at a time. And then at some point soon, you're going to find that all of a sudden you got 10,000 words, 50,000 words, and then maybe even hit 100,000 or even 150,000 words. And when you get to the end of that, it's still going to be a ton of work. I mean, you can't expect for a blog or a series of blog posts to become a book, but they sure will serve as a first draft. And then now you've got something to work with. Now you can take that and edit it, or you can hire an editor to sit down with it and really put some work into it and start to make it cohesive. But at least you've got something to work with. And if you're working towards and with a plan, you can get there with this, just one step at a time. And that's what I always recommend to my clients, and especially, you know, the folks who I'm working with are running their own businesses. They're very, very busy. They don't have the time to sort of, you know, set aside 3 months or 6 months or whatever to just work on a book project. It's always done in the evenings or all those little spaces where you can find some time to convey some information, and just breaking it down into little pieces can really help you with that. Okay, so I think I'll leave it there. I hope that you find this to be helpful in considering whether or not to start your book project. All these things are good considerations, and it really does help for you to know upfront or have a sense upfront whether this is for you or not. So in the next episode, I think we'll talk about actually what to do to start to plan your content to get started with content audit and, you know, sort of the structure and organization. So I hope you'll join me then. And thank you so much to everyone who's been leaving comments, questions, ratings on iTunes. I can tell that it's helped others find this podcast, and I hope that it will be useful to them too. So I really appreciate that. I've just been able to gain a lot of momentum with this podcast, and it's all because of you. And so I just need to say thank you for that. I really appreciate it. All right. We'll see you on the next episode. Thank you so much.